I sincerely welcome all of you to Sridhartha Gopinath Mandir. Express my sincerest gratitude to everyone for so kindly taking your precious time to be with us this evening. I was requested to speak on the topic, killing the Ravana within. This is an especially timely subject, as earlier this week we celebrated Dasara, which is also called Ram Vijayotsav, the day of Sri Ramchandra's historical victory over Ravana, which people also interpret as the power of the divine over the demoniac, over pure good, over evil. Bhagavad Gita tells in the 16th chapter, Trividandara kasyetam dwaram nashanam atmana kama krodas tatha lobas tasmat eta triyantarjet. That there are three gates that lead to hellish conditions: lust, anger, and greed. And every sane man should give them up because they lead to degradation of the immortal soul. Ravana, in his character, very expertly personified these three anartas of lust, anger, and greed. And we could learn so much from the story of Ravana, of how these demoniac tendencies develop within our own hearts. In the second chapter of Gita, Krishna tells, Jayato Vishayan Bhungsang Sangaste Shubhajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kuroda Vijayate Kuroda Bhavati Somohat Samohat Smriti Vibrama Smriti Brahmshat Purinashat Purinashat Pranashyate. It is a progression of degradation that begins like a small seed within our hearts, the seed of the most vicious weed. If we water that weed, it will grow into such a hideous and powerful monster of a creeper that it will choke our spiritual prospects and steal from us the most precious wealth of life. Yatato hyapikonteya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti prashavam mana. The senses are so strong and so impetuous that they can forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. Arjuna was a very great personality, son of Pandu, a dearmost friend of Lord Krishna. But he admitted the power of lust, anger, and greed. He explained it was so difficult to control the mind when it comes under the influence of these things. He said, what is it, Krishna? What is it that seems to force a person, even an apparently good person, to commit sinful, immoral acts meant for his own destruction? What is this power, Krishna? Krishna replies, Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna shamudbhava, mahashano mahapatma vidyenam ihavairanam. It is lust only, Arjuna. Kama, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world, the Ravana, which is later transformed into wrath. When the mind becomes influenced by this powerful enemy of Ravana, it is so difficult to control. Arjuna expresses to Krishna that it seems to me that what you're saying is perfect, but to control the mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. In our last Prerna festival, we discussed this subject of controlling the Hurricane Katrina of the mind, which is followed by Hurricane Rita and so many others. Yes, Ravana was considered the most deadly, powerful enemy in the entire universe. Even the devatas, headed by Indra, were shaking in fear of Ravan. Even Kuvera, with such power and wealth, the treasurer of the devatas, had his most beloved possession, his aerial chariot, Pushpaka, stolen by Ravana. In fact, the demigods, they were doing yajnas and praying incessantly for the Supreme Lord to appear to free them from Ravana. Because even though they had their vajras, their thunderbolts, their weapons, their powerful abodes, and unbelievable vehicles to travel upon, they could not stand before the wrath of Ravana. The mere movement of his eyebrow caused them to tremble in fear. This was his power. And he was plundering the worlds, destroying all that was good. He would go to the places of the Brahmins and the Rishis especially. Why? Because he knew that religious activities and the association of saintly people have the greatest power to eliminate him. It was a war. It was a battle. He knew in order to control the earth, in order to control the heavens, he had to exterminate the power that could extinguish him. The power of God. And that power is manifested through the devotees, the rishis and sages. So he was murdering the Brahmins, eating their flesh and drinking their blood, along with his Rakshasa armies, destroying all sacrifices, outlawing all
real spiritual principles.
But Ravana himself gained all of his powers by controlling his senses and performing tapasya. And then ultimately he lost all of his powers because he could not control his senses. That is the power of the mind and senses, and how it could uplift us or tear us down to the deepest degradation. So yes, Ravana was the greatest enemy within the entire universe. And Krishna tells, Kama Esha Krodha Eja Rajoguna Shamartava, that it is this lust. It is this lust personified by Ravana, which is the most deadly, sinful enemy of this world. Lust, anger, greed, that drags us down to hellish conditions. Began with a seed. Ravana with his brother Kumbhakarna and Surpanaka performed severe austerities, controlling their senses, controlling their diet, living lives of total celibacy for long, long times. And through the process, they got tremendous power. But what did they do with their power? They became mad with false ego and wanted to use it to exploit and enjoy. Anyways, we know the story of Ramayana by Valmiki Muni. I will just put light on a few excerpts to illustrate the theme of today's instruction. Ravana was living in Sri Lanka. He had everything and far more than any man could possibly need in life. But one day, his sister, Surpanaka, she came running, a bloody mess, from Panchabati here in Maharashtra. And she came into the court of Ravana when he saw, with her nose cut from her face, he was outraged. How dare anyone do that to my sister? He wasn't really so concerned with his sister. He was concerned that she was his sister. And what does that do to his prestige? He was outraged that anyone would dare do this to my sister. I and mine. Now, Surpanaka was very expert. She knew what it took to ignite the fire within the heart of Ravana. She wanted revenge, and she wanted Ravana to be the weapon for that purpose. So she told Ravana about the most beautiful female form in all of creation, Sita, living in a forest of Panchabati, wearing the simple, austere clothes of a forest dweller, along with her husband and brother-in-law, Ram and Lakshman. She described
the beauty of Sita. Her every limb in such a way that the seed entered into Ravana's heart. Now this is exactly what Gita tells, the progression of downfall. Jayato Vishayan Pungsan. While contemplating the objects of senses, one develops attachment for them. Just by hearing about Sita, Ravana contemplated, and what happened? He became attached. I must have her. Krishna says, from such attachment, lust develops. Ravana became overcome with lust, victimized, defeated, and exploited by lust. He became a slave of lust. He was thinking he was a great king. But the scriptures explain a real king, a Maharaj, is one who conquers the mind and senses. You can conquer the whole world, the whole universe, but if you cannot conquer your mind and senses, you are defeated in life. He contemplated. That is the first warning that Krishna gives. When these enemies come into your heart, you must divert your attention away from them. Because we have the free will of what we're going to think about. So many thoughts, so many ideas, so many desires may just awaken from our subconsciousness or be stimulated by the external environment around us. But we have the choice what we're going to contemplate. Yatato, Krishna explains in Gita, that wherever and whenever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. The idle mind is devil's workshop. Unless we fill our mind with higher thoughts, then it will certainly contemplate the seeds of our degradation. Ravana could do it. He proved himself. He lived way up in the mountains for thousands of celestial years performing tapasya, fixing his mind on one point, without eating, without drinking, without any relationships with others. He fixed his mind. He controlled his mind with such determination. He had that power. But now that he got the benedictions of Brahma, he became proud. He became lax. And he contemplated the beauty of Sita. Now, Sita is the goddess of fortune. The goddess of fortune is the eternal consort of the Supreme Lord, Narayan. In this case, Sri Ram. If we contemplate Sita in the spirit of being the servant of her servant, in her service to Ram, that is the ultimate contemplation in life. It will bring us perfection, peace, and spiritual love. But when we contemplate in the egoistic pursuit of enjoying selfishly for our own purposes, it creates havoc in our life. He contemplated. He let lust grow. Through his thoughts, he watered the seed of lust. And it grew into attachment. And then he heard from Suparnaka how she was being protected by Ram. And on the power of that lust, he became angry. Envious and angry of Ram. Why? As far as he was concerned, Ram was just a prince who was in no way any threat to him, who was for 14 years exiled to the forest. But now he saw Sri Ram as the barrier between him and Sita. So he became angry as fire, envious as a snake toward Ram, for no other reason that he was interfering with the promise of his fulfilling his kama or lust. This is Gita's instruction. While contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment from attachment, lust. And when there is an impediment to the lust, anger. Ram was his enemy, the well-wishing best friend of every living being. Krishna explains, when there's anger, bewilderment of memory. Ravana decided on a plan. He approached Maricha, who was a very powerful warrior demon who was living like a sage in the forest. Why? Ravana went to Maricha. I want you to steal away Sita from Rama. You must help me. Take the form of a beautiful golden deer, such a mystical deer that will attract her attention. She will send Ram and Lakshman to chase after the deer, and I will kidnap her. Maricha said, you are talking like a crazy man about to die. Do you know the power of Ram? I do. I honor you as my king. But I must tell you, as your loving subject, give up this thought. Because if you do not, it will be the cause of your death and the destruction of your family, your dynasty, and your entire kingdom. I know your strength and I know your powers. But I also know Sri Ram. Many years ago, myself and Subahu were causing havoc to the yajñas of Vishwamitra Muni and his disciples. Until he brought these two young teenage boys, Ram and Lakshman. We attacked the sacrificial fires. And there, Ram stood with his bow and arrow. So young. Just boys. We attacked them to kill them and to eat them. But with one arrow, Sri Ram killed the the mighty Rakshasa Subahu. And with another arrow, he sent me flying 800 miles into the ocean. Another time, I took the form of a stag, deadly, vehement creature. But again, Sri Ram utterly defeated me. I know the power of Ram. Death personified cannot stand before him. Give up this crazy nonsense idea. Ever since that time, I have been hiding from Ram. 24 hours a day, thinking in fear of Ram. When I see a cloud, ah! Ram, he's coming from behind the cloud. When I see a tree, ah! Ram is coming from behind the tree. When I see a flower, ah! Ram is coming from behind the flower. When I see the sun, Ram is coming through the sun. Ram is coming through the room. Ram is coming everywhere. I'm terrorized by Ram. I know his strength. Ravana, give up your nonsense. Give up your attachment to this woman. It will mean your death, I assure you. Go back to Lanka. You have the most beautiful wife on earth. And so many others. You have a golden palace and a golden city and loyal, loving subjects. Go back and be peaceful, but do not go near Ram. Oh, Ravana was so disturbed. That's the next stage of Krishna's explanation. When there is this anger and envy that is born of unfulfilled lust, bewilderment of memory. He was told by Suparnaka that Sri Ram himself had already killed two of his most formidable Rakshasa brothers, Kara and Dushan, along with Trishira and 14,000 highly trained military families. Unbelievable. In a matter of only about an hour, he killed 14,000 soldiers of the Rakshasa army with Kara and Dushan, who were Ravana's own brothers. He didn't think about that. And here Maricha is telling him. But his memory was bewildered. And what happens when your memory is bewildered? The next stage is your intelligence is lost. And what happens when your intelligence is lost? You fall down into the pool of suffering and bondage. So Ravana told Maricha, if you do not follow my command, you fool, you will die at my hands. So Maricha, it was more honorable for a Rakshasa to die at the hands of the enemy than his own king. And besides that, in his heart he knew there would be a higher destination being killed by Ram than Ravana. So this is what that Ravana of Kama does to our hearts. Ravana became deceitful. Deceitful to God. He disguised himself as a harmless rishi. And after Ram and Lakshman were chasing after the deer, he came to apprehend Sita. Such a deceitful scoundrel.
to bring her out of that circle of protection, he took on the form of a sage. Yes, this is what happens when we pursue our passionate desires. Like Ravana, we become deceitful. We envy God. We have the capacity even to be a cheater. Please understand that Ravana was the son of a Brahmin from a very, very high family of sages. How did he become so degraded? Lust, anger, and greed. And we see in today's world that promoted by lust, anger, and greed, even loving friends, family members, become deceitful and cheat each other for a little money, for a little power, for a little prestige to enjoy. I have talked to very, very high wealthy people. And many of them, their lives are very lonely because they do not know who to trust. Because they know the power of greed. Who's really my friend and who has come to cheat me? Is my father my friend or is he coming to cheat me? Is my brothers and sisters my friend, or are they trying to cheat me? Is my sons and daughters my friend, or are they coming to cheat me? My business partner, is he my friend, or does he want to cheat me? This is what greed does to people. It creates this paranoia, fear. And it creates this passion. Yes. We read about Aurangzeb. Out of greed, which is simply a transformation of lust, there are two principles, I and mine, that keep us bound to this world. Lust especially pertains to I am the enjoyer. And in order to enjoy more proficiently, I need more to call mine. That is greed. Yes, Aurangzeb killed his brothers, imprisoned his father. This is not just history, but in other ways, maybe not so grotesque. It's happening thousands of times every day amongst people who have a lot. Families breaking up. Families losing trust. Families cheating each other. Deceit. And what to speak of this artificial state of consciousness of envy and deceit toward God, who is the proprietor of everything. Yes, Ravana personified that. And he stole away Sita in a most cowardly way. And he killed the old devoted king of the vultures, Jatayu, and took Sita all the way back to his own kingdom, Sri Lanka. When at Sri Lanka, gradually
the news came that Ram was approaching. In fact, Ram sent his messenger, Shri Hanumanji, to lead the way. When Hanuman, he disguised himself in a small form, not only to find Sita and give her his message to Ram, I mean, his message to Ram's message to her, but also he wanted to inspect the whole of Sri Lanka to report to Ram because it would be useful for his battle. And in the middle of the night, he came to Ravana's palace. He saw a bed made out of precious crystal. And there was Ravana laying there. What an incredible person he was. Son of a glorious Brahmin sage who was endowed with the powers of the demigods, Brahma and Shiva. Hanumanji was impressed. He was thinking, what a personality. If only he didn't have this lust, anger, and greed in his heart, he would be such a great soul. He would be such a benefactor to the whole world. But then he saw Mandodari. Mandodari was not an ordinary woman. She was the most beautiful female forms ever to be seen in the universal creation. She was exquisite in every way. According to the Puranas, she was so beautiful that when Parvati was away, she actually attracted the heart of Lord Shiva. And Parvati became so angry, she cursed her to be a frog in a well. But Shiva explained that, after your term as a frog is finished, you will be the most beautiful lady again. She became raised as the daughter of Maya Danava. And of everybody, the great powerful Asura Ravana was so helplessly attracted to her incredible beauty that he begged her hand in marriage, and Maya Danava offered her. Hanuman saw Mandodari. What a beautiful, extraordinary woman. And she's one of the examples of perfect chastity for the whole world to follow. She was totally faithful, totally submissive, totally supportive to her husband. That is very rare, even in Treta Yuga. He had everything. And he had so many other wives laying around his bed who were all the most beautiful princesses on earth. Anyways, we know the story of Hanuman. He gave the message to Sita, and Sri Ram was satisfied. But then, just to do a little extra service, he started destroying Ravana's Ashoka Grove. Then Ravana sent his soldiers and his generals, and Hanuman defeated them, and ultimately Indrajit tied him up and brought him to the palace. And here is Hanumanji, a captive prisoner. He allowed himself to be tied up because he wanted to meet Ravana face to face and tell him his mind. Yes? So Ravan,
very angry, Hanuman, what have you broken down my Ashok Grove? How dare you do like this?
And Hanumanji, he gave the message
that you have dared to steal Sita from Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Almighty Time Personified. He will be the cause of your death. Let go Sita and be at peace with Ram. He will not harm you. Continue this and you will die. Oh, Ravana was outraged. Why? Because he was bewildered in memory. His intelligence was lost.
He wanted to kill Hanuman, but Vibhishan warned him that a messenger of the enemy is never to be killed. So he lit his tail on fire. And Sri Hanumanji expanded himself, ecstatically broke the ropes, and jumped on every building in Sri Lanka, put the whole city on fire, and then yelled out to Ravana, I am only the obedient, simple servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Ram, and this is what I have done. Wait till Ram comes, my master, what he will do to you. Let go of Sita and bring peace to your life.
He could not hear.
This is what happens when one loses one's intelligence due to contemplating the objects of the senses and allowing this enemy of lust, anger, and greed to enter into the heart. You cannot take good advice. You cannot hear. Unbelievable. Vibhishan told him that Ram, Ravana, I know who Ram is. Just give back Sita and be happy. Otherwise, you're going to die. And Ravana was so disturbed. Here's his loving brother giving him loving advice, and Ravana became so intoxicated that he threatened to kill Vibhishan. He was actually about to murder his own well-wishing brother when he was told, just banish him. Don't kill him. He's your brother. And he banished him out of his kingdom. Made him bereft of all of his property, his family, his home, his everything. And then Mandodari, continuously, Ravana, just be satisfied with me. I'm your loving wife. You have such a nice family. Look at Indrajit. He's such a good son. And you have loving brothers like Kumbhakarna. Who could ask for anything better than that? And you have such a wonderful kingdom. Just be happy. I will personally fulfill all your desires. But let go of this Sita. Don't you see? She's like a noose around your neck and you're pulling at it. But Ravana could not accept the advice of his brother, his wife, Maricha, Hanuman, nothing. His intelligence was gone. This is the power of lust, anger, and greed. You cannot hear from even your best well-wishers. You cannot even take advice from the sadhus, from the scriptures. You cannot even take advice from your own guru. That is the power of kama, krodha, and lobha. And we see it again and again and again. Even amongst great sages, even amongst sadhus. They're being warned by the Vaishnavas, being warned by the scriptures, being warned by guru. But they cannot give up that desire. Because their intelligence is lost. That is Ravana within our heart. Stealing Sita. that represents bhakti from our heart. Very powerful. Yes, Ravana fell down. And what was his fall down? Instead of, according to his constitutional position, being the eternal loving servant of the Lord, he became the competitive enemy of the Lord. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram. Bhagavad Gita tells, if you want peace, simply accept Krishna as the proprietor of everything. Understand that Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer of everything. That He is your ever well-wishing friend and you will be peaceful for all of eternity. But Ravana, because he was a victim of lust, anger, and greed, Ram became his enemy. And then there was that great battle. Ravana was so disturbed, but he couldn't give it up. Isn't this amazing? He was cursed by Vedavati many years before. You know this story. Vedavati was the wife of the great sage Kusha. And she was doing tapasya because she wanted Vishnu as her husband. Ravana saw her, and infatuation came into his heart. He wanted to enjoy her. How dare you? I have given my heart to Vishnu. I am performing tapasya here for Vishnu. He will be my only husband. He grabbed her matted hair to forcibly enjoy her and take her to Sri Lanka to be his wife. But by her mystic power, with her hand, she cut her hair. And then she told Ravana that because you have touched my body, I cannot tolerate living in this body for another minute. But I will take birth again. I will take birth again. And due to me, you will die. And your entire dynasty and kingdom will be destroyed. And then she meditated on the fire element in her body. And with her mind fixed on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, she burned to ashes. But she cursed Ravana that if you ever try to touch another woman and enjoy her without her free will, you will die. So he had this curse on him. He had to convince Sita to cooperate, but she wouldn't. So he was every day he would go to the Ashoka Grove. Sometimes he would fall on his hands and knees begging, falling at her feet, begging and pleading with her to accept him. But she just insulted him. Other times he would be so angry and ferocious he would growl at her. He would send Rakshashis to torment her. And he threatened, in 1 year, if you do not surrender to me, then I will kill you, and I will drink every drop of your blood and eat every piece of your flesh. This is not the selfless type of love that we read about amongst the great saints. There's a difference between love and kama. So he was, that whole year, he was totally frustrated. Because he was so close to Sita, but he couldn't enjoy her the way he wanted to. Oh, it was so frustrating. And still, he wouldn't give her up. She was the source of all of his miseries, but he couldn't give her up. Does it sound familiar? It's the story of this world. So then there was the great battle. At any time in this battle, all Ravana had to do was say, Ram, just take your Sita. And Ram would have gone back to Panchavati, and everything would have been peaceful. He couldn't give it up. He saw his generals killed. He saw his sons killed. He saw his brothers killed. Ultimately, he called for Kumbhakarna, his dearest brother, who was just a gigantic, all-devouring monster. When he came in the battlefield, actually, even Kumbhakarna told Ravana that you cannot defeat Ram. Just give Sita back and be peaceful. Ultimately, I'll fight for you. But I'm going to die and you're going to die, so just give her back. But Ravana could not listen. So Kumbhakarna went into the battlefield as a loyal brother. Oh, when the Vanaras, Hanuman, Sugriva, and the other monkey soldiers, when they saw Kumbhakarna, even when Rama and Lakshman saw, they were horrified. What is that? He was just eating everything in sight. Huge mouth. And Vibhishan said, that is my brother. His name is Kumbhakarna. You better fight him fast before he devours your entire army. He was just picking up hundreds of monkeys in his hand at a time and putting them with his mouth and just eating, and blood was pouring out. And the monkeys, just when they saw the blood of their brothers just dripping out of his mouth, they ran away. They couldn't tolerate the sight of him. And ultimately, Ram expertly cut off his legs, cut off his arms, and cut off his head, Haribo, and sent his head with an arrow to the doorstep, to the gateway of Sri Lanka. That was too much. Meanwhile, Mandodari, the other wives, just please give back Sita. No. Ultimately, he sent Indrajit, his eldest son, who had defeated Indra in battle, who was unconquerable and undefeatable. Then the news came to Ravana that Indrajit has been killed by Lakshman, Ram's little brother. Ravana was heartbroken. Besides Vibhishan, who he had exiled, all of his brothers, all of his children were dead. The vast part of his army was destroyed. He boarded his own chariot to do battle against Ram. And what a battle that was. It was the greatest battle ever seen in this world up to that date. Ravana was such an expert fighter. Please understand, he is the personified lust, envy, and greed. And Ramchandra, he was playing the part of a human being. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he wanted to teach the world how we could conquer the Ravana within us. So now that we have completed our brief introduction, we will begin tonight's lecture. We have described how this enemy of Ravana comes into our heart, how it grows and becomes powerful, how it progressively develops. And now we find ourselves, we want to be devotees. And what happens when we want to be devotees? When we want to follow the path of real Dharma, we find ourselves on the battlefield, face to face against Ravana within us. If you have ever had this experience, loudly chant Hari Bol. Thank you. What a battle this was. Ravana was shooting so many powerful iron javelins and arrows. He was destroying the entire army of Ram. Just seeing the whole army being massacred, Lakshman approached him. And there was a great fight between Ravana and Lakshman. Vibhishan, who was his own brother, who loved Vibhishan loved Ravana more than he loved his own life. He was his older brother. But he was a devotee, and he saw that his brother was wrong, and he made the choice. He made the choice to take the side of Ram, even with the wrath and the exile of his elder brother, who represents his father. And sometimes we see that happens. When a person becomes a devotee and wants to take the side of Ram, even though he's the loving well-wisher and friend of family members, sometimes they hate him and they exile him, they reject him. Vibhishan's only fault was he was honest and truthful in his love and devotion for Ram. Ravana hated Vibhishan. Why? Because Vibhishan took the side of his enemy. While Ravana was fighting against Lakshman, a great fight, Vibhishan was giving Lakshman good advice. So, Ravana took this mighty javelin, one of his most powerful javelin, a gift of a god. The power of this javelin must defeat and destroy whoever its target was. And he pointed it toward Vibhishan to kill his brother. When Lakshman saw this, immediately he, with full power and enthusiasm, attacked Ravana just to defend Vibhishan. Oh, Ravana was so angry. Who is this interfering with my will? So he took this powerful, deadly javelin that had great celestial boons upon it, and flung it toward Lakshman. Boom! It hit Lakshman right in the chest, penetrated. Lakshman fell to the ground unconscious. Everyone on the battlefield gasped. Ram ran to Lakshman, pulled the javelin out of his
chest, broke it in two, threw it aside. It was weeping and crying, "My dear brother, for my sake, you have been fighting against this Rakshasa, and for my sake, you have been killed. Please, don't die. I will not live. I will give up fighting this battle. I cannot fight without you. Come back, come back. Even if I win this battle, how can I possibly go back to Ayodhya? How will I explain to your mother, Sumit, that I could not protect you? How will I explain it to Satrughna and to Bharat that I could not defend you?" Ram was beside himself with grief. First, in mass anger, he just shot tens and thousands of arrows at Ravana to get him to retreat. And then he cried. Shushena, who was the Ayurvedic doctor amongst the Vanaras, the monkey dynasty, he came and said, "Actually, he's not dead. There is still a slight pulse. Hanumanji, you must get that Sanjivani Karana herb from the Himalayas. Immediately. Do not hesitate." So Hanumanji, with one leap on Ram's order, went to Himalayas, uprooted the entire mountain, and with one leap returned. And Shushena found the herb. And as soon as Lakshman smelled that herb, he came back to consciousness. Ravana was on his way back with greater force than ever to battle against Ram. Now Ram was just on foot, but Indra sent his own chariot with his chariot driver Matali and his own bow, arrows, armor for Ram to use. Ram graciously accepted the gift and boarded the chariot. And the battle raged on. Sometimes Ravana was sending tens and thousands of arrows covering the body of Ram. It appeared that Ram disappeared in a mass black cloud of weapons. But then he rose like the sun. Other times, Ram covered Ravana's entire body with weapons of arrows. The battle went back and forth half the day, hour after hour after hour. The demigods who were watching, they all unanimously agreed, "We have never seen a more exciting battle than this in the history of the world." There was no fighting on the field. On both sides of the armies, everyone just sat or stood, practically unblinking, watching these two most powerful personalities in battle with each other. And it appeared to everyone that neither of them was getting the upper hand over the other. Agastya Muni appeared. "Please listen carefully. The answer to your question, how to conquer Ravana, is about to be revealed by Valmiki Muni." Are you ready? Agastya Muni appeared. Now, who is this Agastya Muni? He was a great sage that was living just about 20 miles outside of Panchavati. When Ram, Sita, and Lakshman were on their way there, they stopped at the Muni of at the hermitage of Agastya Muni and accepted him like a guru. They served him with all humility. They offered him all respect. They sat at his lotus feet and listened to his vast experience and wisdom. They performed very menial services for Agastya Muni. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninasvata darshana. Ram was playing the part of a human being to set the example that all people who want to understand the truth must follow. If you want to know the truth, Krishna said, you must approach Guru. You must inquire submissively and render humble service. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge into you because he has seen the truth. Yes. Ram was the humble servant of his own devotee to teach that being the servant of the servant of the servant of great souls is the only way to conquer Ravana. So when Ram was in the most desperate moments of his life, raging in this battle against Ravana, Agastya Muni saw that neither side could win. So he imparted a mantra to Ram, a prayer called Aditya Hridai. This prayer, if you chant it sincerely from your heart, will take the power which is expanding from Lord Vishnu, which is the very source of the light of the sun, to dispel all darkness and conquer all enmity. He gave him this prayer. The battle raged on. Ram took his choicest arrows and sliced off one of Ravana's heads. In fact, Ravana was so powerful. Ram took a particular arrow, and that arrow divided into 10 and simultaneously cut off all 10 of Ravana's heads. But then, instantly, 10 heads grew back. And it happened so fast that it didn't stop Ravana's fighting for even a second. With his 20 arms, he was throwing javelins, he was throwing bludgeons, he was doing mystical illusions, he was shooting arrows. And then Ram with another arrow, it divided into 10. 10 heads cut off, fell to the ground. They all grew back. Another head cut off, fall to the ground. Another 10 grow. Sri Ramchandra cut off 100 heads of Ravana. And he was still fighting with 10 heads in the battlefield. Ram turned and expressed his condition. that it seems that this battle is going to last forever. He cannot be killed.
It was then, and please listen, my brothers, it was then that Vibhishan appeared.
Vibhishan personifies a faithful devotee. Vibhishan reminded Rama of a very, very important secret. He said, my brother Ravana, he has benediction from Lord Brahma and Shiva, that however many times you cut off his arms or head, it will grow back. Any part of his body you try to wound, it will immediately be restored. There is only one way to kill him. There is a deposit of amrita, or nectar, within the core of his heart. You have to shoot such an arrow into the core of his heart, and that arrow must drink, suck up all that nectar from his heart. And then only can he be defeated. Then Vibhishan said, Agastya Muni, don't you remember when you served him so nicely near Panchavati, he gave you the most special weapon that he empowered with his mercy? Now, chant the prayer that he has given you, Aditya Hridaya, and use the arrow that he has given you. There is no other way to defeat Ravana. Vibhishan represents here the association of devotees. When we're on this battlefield against Ravana, we need the association of devotees to remind us of what Guru and scriptures and the sadhus have told us, to refresh our memory, because the tendency is to forget, especially when you're being attacked by the Ravana of lust, anger, and greed. The tendency is to become bewildered. Even Maharaj Bharat, he was such a great devotee on the platform of Bhava, living alone in the Gandaki River, manifesting symptoms of ecstatic emotion for Krishna. But even he fell under the illusion of attachment to a deer who became so dear that he gave up his spiritual practices. If only he had association of devotees, they would have said, Bharat Prabhu, you're in Maya. Don't you remember what Srila Prabhupada taught us? Oh, yes, yes. Thank you, Prabhu. My obeisances. Association of devotees is critical. Srila Prabhupada said, without the association of devotees, we cannot win this battle against Maya. Too powerful. United we stand, divided we fall. Prabhupada said, to think that you can make spiritual advancement without the association of devotees is impossible. It's insanity to even think that way. We need each other. So yes, Ram, he's the Supreme Lord, but he was playing the role to teach us how to defeat Ravana. He was taking the role like us. And Vibhishan, the devotee, reminded him to chant the mantra. And that arrow represents the mercy of the great souls. So Ravana, he was fighting miserably. He was fighting miserably with power and strength. Unbelievable. Just burying Ram with his arrows. And Ravana chanted that mantra and took that arrow, which was the mercy of Agastya Muni, and drew it back. The shaft of the arrow was presided over by Vayu. The plumes of the arrow presided over by Agni. The tip of the arrow was presided over by Surya, the sun. And the weight of the arrow was presided over by Mount Mandara and Mount Sumeru. He drew back that arrow. He chanted the mantra. It flew through the air. It was effulgent like the sun. Everyone on the battlefield could only watch that arrow. Meanwhile, Ravana was fighting ferociously. That arrow made such a sound that the earth trembled. And it reached its target. It entered right into the core of the heart of Ravana and sucked out all the nectar. Then the arrow, by its own powers, came out of the heart of Ravana and entered into the earth. Ravana screamed, a scream that no man has ever heard, and I will not attempt to imitate it. It was such a scream that the volume and the intensity of his voice made the entire world shake. Blood started vomiting out of his mouth. His limbs trembled. His eyes, all 20 eyes, rolled. And then he fell from his chariot onto the ground as a mighty mountain is cut down to the ground by the thunderbolt of Indra. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. As Ravana lay dead, the Rakshasas were shocked. This was impossible. It was unthinkable. Their mighty ruler was defeated. Terrified. All the Rakshasa army was running and screaming, and the monkeys, oh, they were jumping up and down and celebrating Shri Ram Ki Jai. And they started chasing after the Rakshasas from behind, just laughing and calling out the glories of Shri Ram. This is how Lord Ramchandra taught us the only way to conquer the Ravana within. We must chant the mantra, because the mantra gives us the power of Vishnu. According to the Kali Santarana Upanishad, in this age of Kali, the most powerful mantra that includes all other mantras is this 16-word, 13-syllable mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahada vagni nirvapanam. The power of this mantra is it cleans the heart of lust, anger, and greed. Just as the Aditya Hriday manifested the full power and strength of Lord Vishnu. Nam Namakariba Nita Sarva Shaktis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told from the scriptures that the holy name of God has all the power and glory of God Himself. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He came to this world with this weapon. Ram had his bows and arrows. Krishna had his Sudarshan Chakra. Narasingha Dev had his claws. Varaha Dev had his tusk. Parasuram had his axe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the source of all incarnations, came with the weapon of the holy name, the most powerful weapon, to kill the Ravanas, Kumbhakarnas, Hiranyakashipus, Hiranyakshas, Dantavakras, and Shishupals within our heart. The enemies of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion. Ram, by his own example, he took the name from a great saint, Agastya Muni, and chanted that name. But that's not all. In order to chant properly, we must receive the blessings and the mercies of the great souls, which was the arrow. He received that arrow of Agastya Muni because he heard submissively and he served him with faithfulness and sincerity. That is the arrow of the mercy of the great devotees. So these three things combined, the mercy of the great souls, the association of the Vaishnavas, and the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. By their power, yes, Ramchandra taught us, we can forever kill that Ravana within our heart. Param drisvani vartate. We all have the experience. Every time we control our senses, every time we try to defeat lust, anger, and greed, whoop, another head appears. Somehow or other we battle against it and we tolerate it. Whoop, another. We must go to the heart. We must go to the heart. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. When we surrender to the Lord will protect us. The mercy of the Lord comes through the Vaishnavas, through the mercy of Guru, and through the chanting of the holy names. It has been sung and glorified by the scriptures and all the great acharyas as the only way of conquering the Ravana within. So yes, it is very important. We cannot leave this battlefield. We must have the courage to fight, but we must take shelter of powers beyond our own. Ravana was dead on the ground. Mandodari came to him, weeping, crying, beating her chest. Oh, Ravana, why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you listen to your loving brother, Vibhishan? You had everything. You had a golden city, a beautiful palace. You had unchallenged rule over your kingdom. You had beautiful, loving wife and so many faithful ladies to attend you. You had brothers and children. You had everything. Why didn't you give up Sita? Because you didn't? Now look. You're just a lifeless corpse. When you controlled your senses, you became the most powerful person in the universe. But when you didn't, what is the result? You're just laying in your own blood. She wept and cried. Vibhishan wept and cried. Ramchandra told Vibhishan, you must perform the last rites for your brother. Vibhishan said, he does not deserve last rites. I cannot do it. But Ram taught him, you must forgive. The soul is pure. The body's dead, but the soul is pure. We must help his soul to attain salvation. That is love. You must perform the last rites and show your love for your brother, which he did. Now I'd like to end tonight's narration with one very important point. All this trouble that Ravana took to capture Sita and to keep Sita for his enjoyment. And all along, my brothers, it was a false Sita. It was a false Sita. He was fighting for the wrong thing all along. Maya means that which is not. According to the Kurma Purana, it is described that Ram knew it was coming. Ravana cannot teach the real Sita. She's the transcendental goddess of fortune. The consort of the Lord can never be touched by demons or greedy people. In Panchavati, Ravana entrusted the real Sita under the care of Agni, who brought her to Parvati. And Vedavati, who cursed Ravana, appeared from the fire as a false Sita. What Ravana strived so much for was a mirage. It was not the real thing. That is the story of material existence. We're all looking for pleasure, and we all become Ravanas trying to find Sita, but the problem is, it's a mirage. It's false. It's not the real thing. You chase after a mirage in the desert, and all you get is a hot mouthful of dry sand. And that's all Ravana got out of the whole ordeal. We're looking for enjoyment, but the enjoyments of the world are just like reflected mirror images of the real enjoyment. Real enjoyment comes by service and devotion. When we become attacked by Ravana with lust, anger, and greed, then we fall into this illusory misconception of I and mine. And we're chasing after pleasures that cannot give us pleasures. They're all false. They're all illusory. But the real pleasure is there. Prabhupada said, wherever there is counterfeit, there must be real. And what is that real pleasure? Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipatam punamrita svadhanam.
That pleasure that we're all real seeking. Really seeking. That true joy, anandamayo byashat, that every soul is searching for. Instead of looking toward exploiting the false sitas, we want to serve the real sita by becoming humble and sincere, purifying our heart and chanting the holy names.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is that means Ravana was thinking that he is the mighty and he has the power. Then my question is that why he has taken the decision to kidnap Mother Sita in absence of the Ram and Lakshman, instead of fighting face to face with the Ram or Lakshman?
You should ask Ravana this question. Personally, I have the same question for him. Because he was a thief. Any other questions? Maharaj, where do we draw the line between want, desire, and greed? It is mentioned in Bible, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened. So is it good to ask from God? It is very good to ask from God. But there are gradations of material and spiritual ways in which we could ask from God. Lord Chaitanya taught us the highest standard. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagatisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahai thikitvaye. I do not want money. I do not want beautiful ladies. I do not want fame and prestige. I do not even want liberation. I only ask for one thing, my Lord. Please allow me to be your unconditional servant, birth after birth after birth. This mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is presented as a prayer by our beloved acharyas. Srila Prabhupada translated it as such, that O Lord Hari, O Srimati Radharani, who was Sita, the personification of pure love, O Krishna, the all-attractive, all-beautiful object of everyone's love, O Rama, the source and reservoir of all pleasure, please engage me in your loving service. That is the highest prayer. We can ask for impious things, and that, or we can ask for pious things. It's better to ask God than to forget God. Even for our material things, it's better to remember God and ask Him than to forget God. However, better than that is not to ask what you will give me, but to ask what I could give you. You are quoting from the Bible, but this is what Jesus is talking about. When He says that ask and you shall receive, knock and the door shall open, He's not talking about asking for a good job. He's not talking about asking for a Toyota. He's not talking about asking for a promotion in your job. He's talking about asking for service, asking for mercy. Knock on the door to the spiritual world and it will open. He said, make not this world your home, but the kingdom of God. For wherever your heart is, that's where your... Your home is wherever your heart is. So make your home the kingdom of God. Krishna is eager to give us an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Even if we don't ask Him, just by our own karma and destiny, we're going to get things in this world. We want to pray to the Lord. That's what prayer is about. Prayer is about asking. Asking for strength. You quote the Bible. This is the Lord's Prayer. To pray to God to help me to overcome temptation. To overcome evil. To give me the bread of life. Yes, we must ask for God. But let us ask for what is eternal, what is glorious, what will give us unending pleasure. And that is devotional service. We should be prema bhikaris. We should beg for prema. We should be begging God, begging for love, for devotion, for compassion, for mercy. For service. That is the highest prayer. Seek and ye shall receive. What you ask for, you're going to get. But you're quoting the Bible. Jesus said, why ask for the things of this world? Because the treasures of this world will be corroded by rust, eaten by moths and stolen by thieves. Make your treasure in the kingdom of God where there are no moths, rust, or thieves. Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Is there any other questions? How can we control the process of contemplation of mind over favorable things for bhakti when the senses are very weak materially and spiritually to take the process of austerity and are mixed with others who are very weak in overcoming lust, anger, and greed? Krishna tells Arjuna that by practice and detachment, we can overcome the very powerful effect of the mind and senses. Vishayavani vartante niraharasya dehina rasavarajam rasopyasya parandrispani vartate. Yes, the mind and senses are very, very difficult to overcome. But if we experience a higher taste, then it can be successful. So whenever that tendency for the lower tastes of lust, anger, and greed attack us through the mind and senses, we must take shelter of that which will give us a higher taste. Bhakti is practical. The tongue wants to taste something nice. So you can go to a permit room and eat all kinds of things and drink so many nice things. That's what your tongue is tasting. Or you can go to Govinda's restaurant. Or come to Prerna. And somehow or other tolerate the lecture as long as it goes on. And then you will get prasad. Nice prasad. Homemade ice cream. But it's the Lord's mercy. It's offered with love and devotion. So I can feel that you're very eager for me to end this lecture so you will take prasad. And I'm almost ended, so please be patient. So yes, we want to taste something. Taste and enjoy the higher taste. We want to see something. See the beauty of the deities. See the beauty of the work of arts that's glorifying God. The most beautiful creations of art in the history of the world, both in the East and in the West, are expressions of devotion to God. Who are the greatest painters in the history of the Western world? Leonardo da Vinci, Raphael, and practically all of their artwork is the glorification of God. Who was one of the greatest sculptors? Michelangelo. Moses, David, biblical people, for the purpose of bringing people to the church, for the purpose of inspiring people with faith in God. And in India, such glorious art. The dance, Odessa dancing, Bharatanatyam dancing, Kalakati dancing? Kathakali. It's all about Ram's Leela, Krishna's Leela. It's the Leelas of the Lord, the dancing of Shiva. And the beautiful artwork, the Rajasthani art, the architecture. It was all based around devotion to God. The beautiful songs, all the ragas and the Vedas are meant for the glorification of God. So yes, the greatest beauty and the highest taste of pleasure in this world is connected to Krishna. Anandam Buddhivaradhanam. That's what we're all searching for. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Therefore, this process, Srila Prabhupada, is joyful. Chanting, dancing, feasting. In a few moments, we will have kirtan. You will be dancing, you will be singing, and you will be enjoying it
I believe you will agree with me. You will enjoy it hundreds and thousands of times more than your comrades in the discos are enjoying tonight, Saturday night. Why? Because you're chanting the names of God. You're hearing the instruments glorifying God, and you're dancing and singing for God in joy. So yes, the mind and senses are very difficult to overcome. We simply have to keep them busy tasting the sweetness of Krishna through art, through activity in service, through music. And at any moment, we can taste Krishna's mercy by simply chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare.
Sanatan Dharma, in its essence, is not just a dry philosophy of denying yourself of what everyone else is enjoying. Real essence of Sanatana Dharma or Krishna consciousness is learning how to be a real bona fide enjoyer. Because for the soul, enjoyment is in service, in love for God, in love for every living being as part of God. Real enjoyment is being in an instrument of God's compassion in the service of all others. That is enjoyment. It is dynamic, wonderful. And it is available to everyone. Is there any other questions? You told that mercy is an important component to deal with lust, envy, greed. Please tell how we can access mercy of devotees. By our humility and our service attitude, we can access mercy. The mercy of Krishna, of God, is everywhere. And it is for everyone. We have the independent free will, whether we want to access it or not. Just like, for instance, as we're sitting in this room, there are so many invisible radio and television and satellite frequencies everywhere. Yes? How is it that if I have a radio here or a television, satellite television, I just press a button and there's a new show. I press another button and there's a movie coming from Hollywood, California. And I press another one and there's a live broadcast from Moscow. And I press another one and there's a cricket match in Australia. That's probably what most people would watch. How is it? Just a press a button from a screen. Because somehow or other, there's these waves. And according to what you tune, according to what you tune onto, is what you're going to access. Yes? You can on your computer. You just press a button and you can access pornography. Or you could press another button and you can access the Pope speaking at the Vatican. And you press another button and you get, you know, the Radha Gopinath. Radha Gopinath website, and you hear a live lecture from Gauranga Prabhu. I mean, what's happening? You have a wireless computer. You have television. It's not just coming through the current. It's coming through the antenna. Yes? That means these frequencies are every type of frequency is all around all the time. And what you tune your consciousness into is what you're going to access. So how to access mercy? Lord Chaitanya taught us, Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If we want to access mercy, we must strive to be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. Because if we have this humble service attitude to all living beings as the parts and parcels of the Lord, if we have this type of service attitude, then when we chant the names of the Lord, we will access the complete mercy of the Lord. I wish to thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada had faith in this mercy. How he traveled to the most mysterious places in the world and transformed so many people's lives. One time a newspaper reporter asked Prabhupada, "Can you show me a miracle?" And Prabhupada said, "My miracle is I have transformed hippies into happies. People addicted to illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, atheistic. And now they've given up all these bad habits. And they are intoxicated, joyously serving the Lord, trying to do the para upakar, the highest welfare work by all humanity, by spreading God's love." What is it that Srila Prabhupada did? Nitya siddha krishna prema sajya kabunoi saravanadi sudhi cheti kodi yayudoi. Love of God is dormant within the heart of every living being. It is our nature to love God. That nature has simply been forgotten and covered by so many distractions. But by chanting the Lord's names and associating with the Lord's devotees in a service attitude, that love is awakened. Srila Prabhupada he never claimed to be God. The Guru simply teaches us how to access the mercy of the Lord. As Ram taught us how to conquer the Ravana within our heart by developing a proper attitude of service, humility, forgiveness, devotion. And when we chant the names of the Lord in that spirit, we access the infinite
mercy that can empower us to overcome all obstacles and achieve the ultimate success of life. Srila Prabhupada had that faith and gave us that most precious and valuable of all gifts. The gift that can never be calculated in terms of monetary value. Because all the money in creation cannot bring relief from pain and ecstatic love. But this gift that Srila Prabhupada gave us will most certainly bestow that benediction, an eternal life of ecstatic love, love for Krishna, the all-attractive, all-sweet form of the Lord, our dearest friend. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Speaking of the beauty of Krishna, on Monday is the most beautiful darshan of the year to celebrate Sharad Purnima, the night of Radha Gopinath's Rasa Leela. The program will begin at 6 o'clock. There will be bhajans and then a lecture on the subject of Sharad Purnima, then a beautiful darshan, which people travel hundreds of miles to see this darshan. The devotees prepare for about 1 week, making arrangements to create the Vrindavan forest. For the pleasure of Sri Radha Gopinath and the devotees. And there'll be wonderful bhajans and kirtans and nice prasad also. So please, if it's at all possible, come to celebrate with us Sharad Purnima, Monday evening at 6 o'clock. It's the full moon night, and it is the first day of the month of Kartik. At this time, we will perform Nam Sankirtan. We request you all to, in a very prayerful spirit, to call out the names of the Lord, and in your youthful exuberance, you may dance if you so wish. Once again, thank you very much.